Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down and turn our attention to architecture and design in Indian country with an interview of David Nijelski, the creative director and a principal of TBE Architects. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliate marketer for online and land-based casinos in North America. Oh, I swear she's had a moment. She still believes in miracles. Native American casino design is a particular niche in the casino architecture industry. Designers must be sensitive to tribal history and culture while employing the latest and greatest of commercial casino design for their clients. David Nijelski was recently promoted to creative director and a principal for TBE Architects, formerly Fold and Boyd Emery. Nijelski has a long history of success in tribal gaming design and counts among his successful projects Harrazak Chin and the Wild Horse Casino in Arizona, San Manuel and the Chumash Casino in California, Firekeepers and Soaring Eagle in Michigan, and many others. He spoke with me at G2E in October. David Nijelski, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. It's good to see you. It's always nice to talk to somebody from Fold and Boyd Emery. You guys are some of the experts in Indian gaming design, and we're real pleased to be able to sit down with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk about the general tribal gaming design industry where we are now. You know, in the early days, it was just, you know, tents and temporary structures. Now they're soaring, you know, integrated resorts, basically. Tell us how that transition came about.
Well, the transition, obviously, the tribes started where they needed to, where they had to, mm-hmm. the elements that they had, the resources that they had, but obviously have grown beyond that, and they're interested as well to expand on the market, tap into new markets. Mm-hmm. Their priorities tend to be placed a little bit differently on occasion. There's other entities involved, not just the bottom line,
sure,
but
right.
How do we put the best product out there for the betterment of the tribes in mm-hmm. particular?
Right.
They're a business investment for the tribe and to bring the entire nation up. And
right.
we pride ourselves on the fact that we focus on that and understand that that's the main priority. If the business venture goes, if the casino property goes, then that benefits the tribe as well.
Okay. So their outlook on casino design is often different than a commercial company.
There are other interests in play that need to be balanced out as far as the priorities,
right.
and they're all different. So every tribe needs to be treated as an individual mm-hmm. and understand what their particular priorities are. Sometimes it's to cater to and create the most invigorating and dynamic mm-hmm. gaming environment for the customer base. Sometimes there's a pride factor to express certain aspects of the culture, but not go over the top, try to turn it into a museum, per se.
Right.
So we've never found it difficult to find a balance between those two seemingly opposing mm-hmm. factors.
Now, you really have to develop a personal relationship in Indian country, don't you? It's not just business. It's that you really need to understand what the tribe is and what they represent.
Yes, and that's part of our task is to, they're not architects,
mm-hmm.
they're not designers, some of them are, but our role is to get the information out of them, to get the understanding from them, what it is that they really want. It's our responsibility to help them communicate
mm-hmm.
their goals to us.
Right.
So a relationship, getting to know someone, explaining our process and how we go about doing that,
mm-hmm.
Familiarizes the parties involved with that process
right.
so that they can feel at ease and feel that we're there to help them. We're there to be a vehicle for them to express their desires
okay.
for the outcome of the project.
So you really got to understand their culture, their you know, sacred elements and things that are important to them.
They lead us through that.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are cultural elements that they do not want expressed mm-hmm. or even brought up
sure, right.
in the
okay.
casino. So that's part of that learning process.
Yeah. Sometimes a tribe would want that, though,
yes.
I would expect.
Yes.
And I think I've seen that in many tribal destinations. So once you figure out, you know, exactly what they want to see incorporated into the casino, what's the next step after that?
usually there's a process working with operations, mm-hmm. and working with management of the casino to understand what the market is, mm-hmm. understanding what the demographic is. Many times they'll have an idea of where they want to branch out as far as expanding their market, mm-hmm. where they're deficient in certain areas, and where their strengths are. Mm-hmm. So they'll help lead us in the programming process of where they think the facility okay. needs to go. And then we bring our experience on working on multiple projects throughout the country mm-hmm. to bear and see how does our experience in other markets apply to this market.
Right.
And it's a dual learning process mm-hmm. for that.
So you bring your experience in terms of traffic flow and where to place the casino in the facility and that kind of thing.
There's trends that we see in the market. There's new things that are brought up. There's options and approaches that have been tried and failed.
Right.
Hard lessons learned are some of the most telling.
Sure.
And the understanding what the best opportunities are in the newer areas that you want to go. Some of the new aspects.
Okay. Now most of these tribal casinos are located in remote areas, because they're on the reservations, which is always the worst land in the world, So is that a challenge to really find the site that you need?
It is. Many times they due to either regulatory requirements mm-hmm. or legal processes, that's a long process to secure a parcel of land that
sure.
can be developed as a gaming property, mm-hmm. Depending on the regulations and the legalities within the particular state or even up in Canada, some of those
sure.
jurisdictions, all the legalities tend to be a little bit specific. So that will, much like any site condition, that can bear into the design process mm-hmm. and influence what the physical design characteristics are. Their gaming lines, what's designated as a gaming property, or are there any regulations related to minor access to the floor,
sure.
transitioning across the floor. Mm-hmm. We've had properties where minors could not view a gaming device
right.
from any of the public spaces. So mm-hmm. that influences how you lay out the facility.
Sure.
But always our firm looks at understanding both the short-term installation as well as the long-term growth of the mm-hmm. property and stage it in such a way that the facility is accommodates expansion and accommodates a development mentality that is strictly a gaming mentality because
okay.
all assets lead to the gaming floor.
Sure.
It feeds the gaming environment. But the role that the secondary amenities play in that process continues to evolve over time. But it always feeds into the whole assembly or the whole package of what the resort property needs to
sure.
be, both from approach, mm-hmm. How curb appeal. Are you trying to draw people that weren't intending to come to the casino? Or are you fashioning a product that is ultimately a gaming mm-hmm. or a destination property that they're going to be on en route to that location because of the amenities and because of all the packages.
Right, okay. So in a lot of cases, the tribes have built just a casino to start, and they ramp up the casino, and they stockpile their cash, and then to really expand the draw of the casino, they have to add things like hotels and showrooms and things of that nature. What kind of challenge is that when there's already an existing casino on a footprint, and how you add on to that?
Sometimes the most difficult site is the site that has no limitations.
Yeah.
If you have an existing property,
mm-hmm.
There are things there that could be problematic and many times are problematic,
right.
But that helps focus the decisions that need to be made
mm-hmm.
in order to deal with that. We have had properties where the best decision overall was to demo and make major modifications.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, assets that are already in play, it's an investment,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't seem to be a good return on investment just to throw those things away. So existing conditions, existing facility configurations will influence the design. Sometimes if there is a finite capital that's available
mm-hmm.
for future expansion, sometimes what the sequence is of the expansion of the amenities is more important than necessarily the physical configuration of those amenities. If an expansion is looking to be done, sometimes the obvious solution is we want to expand the gaming floor.
Mm-hmm.
But an analysis of the existing property to determine do you have current deficiencies within
right.
that property?
Mm-hmm.
Is parking adequate? Are hotel rooms adequate?
Right.
It may be a wiser investment to expand those amenities first in order to facilitate a transition to an expansion of a gaming floor. So the phasing and the sequencing of those construction elements is really paramount to a successful project expansion.
Okay. In some markets, competition is heating up. Southern California, for example, I know with the Hamul Hollywood Casino run by Penn National in San Diego County, their competitors are ramping up. Sequan is building an addition. Some of the other casinos are considering adding on. What do you look at each situation and then recommend? You know exactly how they should do it. Should you add a hotel? Should you expand casino space or high limit space or something of that nature?
Competitive market usually does have an influence on what the expansion is going to be, but what is the balance of the amenities within the property?
Right.
There are certain things that are almost a guarantee to increase revenues, hotel rooms,
right.
But how does that compare with the capacity of rooms in the marketplace?
Right.
If you are a remote facility and you are at the far end of a commute corridor between two major metropolitan areas, what do you need to do differently in order to bring people past other properties or properties that are intended to come online?
Mm-hmm.
You need to anticipate how that market is changing. Nothing is stable,
and
the competition between any gaming markets is always in flux.
Right.
Planning ahead to be positioned to maximize that market share with the investments that you're making is part of that strategy.
There's been a lot of talk at G2E this year about non-gaming revenue and diversifying your economy both in commercial and tribal casinos. So that seems to be a trend going on. When a tribe comes to you and says, we want to add on, but we're not sure where we're going to get our best return on investment, do you do an analysis of their property for them?
We've had experiences in the past that sometimes non-gaming amenities do increase the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
There are higher return on investment.
Sure.
Traditionally, a parking structure was always one of those. Characterize it as an amenity, it's a convenience thing.
Right.
So how do these amenities contribute to the guest experience?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first analysis that we do is the expectation to bring these amenities to bear, is it part of the business model for the property, for the guest experience,
mm-hmm.
or is it something that's based on a broader desire? Maybe it's more community oriented,
mm-hmm.
and it's the assets related to the casino help do some community infrastructure construction.
Right. You're talking like casino, convention and meeting space, that kind of thing?
Sometimes they're recreational facilities, movie theaters,
mm-hmm.
and bowling alleys, and a lot of those amenities have really evolved over time. They're not the same movie theaters and bowling alleys that they used to be. They're much more entertainment experiences in and of themselves.
Okay. I've heard that golf courses are not a good investment.
They don't seem to have the weight that they did once,
mm-hmm.
But they are still a part of when you have a lot of land available.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the advantages that a lot of Indian properties have if they are more remote.
Right.
They may have the advantage of having adequate acreage and real estate
mm-hmm.
to have that as amenity that fits it into that more resort category. So what when you're in these remote areas, what are those amenities that can bring people in from a greater distance?
I guess you have to consider also your surrounding area. If there's already a couple of golf courses, you'd just increase the competition there.
Yeah. And like most things, what sort of market share do you anticipate that you're going to get? What has a market study shown? Has a market study been done in order to help determine what is the competition out there, and what are the assets that you're considering bringing on to this property, to this development, and how does that factor into the broader approach?
Okay. Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGaming Player is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGaming Player delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news,
play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGaming Player uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks-and-mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing.
Now, you mentioned tribal elements earlier. Even though, the tribe wants it to look beautiful and it wants to include these tribal elements, they're still trying to attract, this kind of the same customer as a commercial casino. So how do you advise them that, let's not go overboard with the tribal elements and hit them over the head with it, because, these are people that are just in the casino to be entertained and to gamble, basically.
Well, usually that's not a hard process to cover, because there really isn't a desire to turn the casino into a museum, only on rare instances, and more individual voices feel that that's important. Our goal and our opportunity is really, the way we see it, is to understand certain subtleties about the culture and find ways that we can infuse that into contemporary casino and interior design and exterior design. It doesn't The subtlety of it is where the elegance and the power comes from.
Sure, right.
I think many, on certain developments, we've found that it feels first like an exciting casino environment.
Mm-hmm.
Those in the know understand where the elements came from and that there's a deeper meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those are expressed and shared with the customer base as part of a description of what this element, this area, this feature represents. And other times, it's enough that just the tribal members understand the significance of it.
Right.
And it gives them a connection to the property, a pride in the property, because it's deeper than just a business venture for them.
Right. Now, we all know food and beverage is an important element in any casino. When it comes to deciding whether you're going to bring in celebrity chefs or franchise operations or self-owned operations, do you make recommendations in that area too?
We can give suggestions on what our experiences have been in the past. Sometimes it's related to what opportunities do you have, what sort of control do you want to handle, what sort of control do you want to maintain over those venues. Sometimes it's an opportunity to get a broader, more dynamic product and minimizes some overhead, but there are some service and some interface with back of house, interface with the operations that need to be identified.
Okay,
and not the least of which is how does the budget factor into that?
Okay, and I know this question is kind of asking who your favorite child is, but you've done a lot of designs. What are some properties that kind of stick out that you're very proud of?
Oh, they're each special.
Special. I mean, I'm not suggesting that anyone is better than another, but something that's memorable for you.
For me, I personally take a lot of pride in the opportunity to help express an aspect of a tribal culture in that casino space.
Right.
When we are able to take when you sit in a room with tribal members, sometimes they're historical liaisons, sometimes they're cultural liaisons, sometimes they're council members, sometimes they're operations people that are tribal members as well. And when you can go through this this design exploration, where they can see aspects of their culture represented in ways that they hadn't anticipated, and it serves both purposes. It so serves to create for a dynamic entertainment environment, and also has cultural significance that they can relate to and they can identify with. It adds a relevance to each one of the projects. So when we have an opportunity that in areas or in the overall design, more opportunity to express those things, I feel those properties have more weight to them. I think they have more relevance to the communities that have been engaged in the development of them. Certain properties, they feel that they don't want to express their culture in that way, and that's a personal decision.
Sure.
So that's what worked for them, and that's our role, is to provide that service for them.
Right.
My personal enjoyment is when we can find ways to express some broader cultural identities within the property. So Any number of our properties have various elements throughout, and each one of them have had great experiences. So
okay.
A few of the properties that pop to mind, Firekeepers, the main lobby area.
It's beautiful.
Some of the Canadian
I was
properties.
Just there last summer, and incredible property.
Some of the Canadian properties we did years ago, there were multiple bands involved in those, mm-hmm. so there was a great community involvement mm-hmm. from multiple bands of First
right.
Nations members to try and express a common identity in those spaces. And so that collaborative nature and that community nature is really, really a rewarding experience.
Okay. In general, what is the tribal design market like these days? I know it was depressed for a little while. Is it starting to move forward again?
We are finding a lot of activity, and we've just secured two large projects mm-hmm. that we're very excited about in the region mm-hmm. of the country that we've been working in a little while mm-hmm. in the Northwest, and we're very excited to begin working in that area because, again, it's a little bit of a different group of people. It's a new experience for me from a creative process. It's ripe for opportunity, so we're seeing a lot of energy and activity occurring.
Great. Well, we're certainly looking forward to seeing some of the new designs you put forward because, your company has done some excellent projects, and we've always been fans of what you've done, and we'll continue to do that in the future. So congratulations on the new projects.
Thank you very much.
And, we'll continue to cover them in both GGB and our Casino Style magazine. So
thank you very much.
It's nice to talk to you.
Who's standing now? Who's standing tomorrow?
Enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.